Older food enthusiasts may recognize this as the theme music from the PBS show The Frugal Gourmet, but the world of food television has changed a lot since it was canceled in 1997. Now you can catch Paula Deen and Ina Garten walk you through making your next dinner, and you can watch chefs compete against the clock and against each other for glory or prize money. The New Yorker's Emily Nussbaum recently surveyed the world of food television, and her piece, To Stir With Love, appeared in the April 8th issue of the magazine. I'm very pleased to welcome her back to our show today. Hello.
Thanks for having me.
You started off your article by quoting a Nora Ephron piece from 1968 in which she predicted the demise of the food world. Is there a sense in which the kind of foodie culture that, quote, foodie culture that we have today is totally unexpected?
Well, I think it is totally unexpected. It wasn't really Ephron herself who was predicting the demise. She was quoting the very tight community of gossipy, backbiting people within haute cuisine within New York. And, of course, they could never have predicted the internet and all of the different things ranging from Chowhound to the Food Network to Iron Chef to, as I mentioned, a crazy YouTube video of somebody making a baked potato out of ice cream.
And Nora couldn't have predicted that she'd end up writing and directing Julia and Julia in 2008.
True.
You say you're not a cook, so you must eat out a lot.
I don't eat out a lot. I do cook in the house. But as I said, I'm a subsistence cook, which is to say, like some people, I know I'm not the only one. I can cook. I'm not a good cook, and I don't enjoy cooking. But I have to say, despite what I said in the piece, there had to be some level of inspiration from watching this, because the very week after I wrote and closed that piece, I actually made the stew that I pointed out in the piece that I had not made in 3 years. And I also made matzo balls for the first time. So perhaps in a subliminal way, despite all my undercutting remarks, I
Why do you think some people enjoy cooking so much and others like you don't?
Well, I mean, you know, it's like a question like, why do some people like dancing and why do some people like
playing
music?
Why do some people like dancing? No, no, I know.
Because dancing is fun. No, I mean, I truly wish that I had that kind of sensual attachment to chopping things up. A lot of people find it relaxing. But, I mean, I think it's just like anything in the world where there's a range. On the other hand, food is something that you have to eat. You have to find a way to do it. But I've been pretty blown away by the explosion of enthusiasm by people around me for making their own extremely precise artisanal barbecue.
Did you watch all of this food television because you thought you'd write a piece? Was it an assignment, or were you hoping to learn to become more enthusiastic about cooking?
Well, I mean, everything I write about for television has an element of being an assignment. I chose to sit down and write about this. I was intrigued by the rise of reality shows and the way they contrast with the traditional stand and stir, and I wanted to write about that. But I have to say, I got so hungry while watching them. It was unbelievable. Like, I can't believe people watch these channels for long periods of time, because I literally became ravenous.
Well, talk about the stand and stirs for a moment. With shows like Julia Child's The French Chef and Yann Can Cook, PBS used to have a corner on the market of food television. But now we have at least two networks dedicated to food programming. And then there are shows like Top Chef on other networks that are not food related. Is PBS still a go-to for food programming with shows like the ones that feature Lydia Bastianich and Jacques Pepin?
People who are greater experts on this will say which of the channels is a bigger deal and which of the shows is up and coming. I was watching as a neophyte, but part of what I was intrigued by is that I'd completely missed the craze for Iron Chef, and I was fascinated by the way the reality shows posited food as something incredibly dangerous, harmful, an emergency, much like watching 24. It was a completely different way of looking at food than Julia Child was trying to do.
Well, what if you were supposed to take away from those reality shows like Top Chef and Iron Chef? I'm assuming they're meant to be pure entertainment. It's like watching one of the shows where people dance or sing. We're not expected to come away with it knowing how to dance and sing.
Well, I think it's odd, because all of the shows, there is a level at which I wonder how much people learn how to cook from the show. I mean, the thing is, shows like Chopped do show you how to cook. I mean, obviously it's not highly realistic and it doesn't take you step by step, but I actually found something exciting and fun about watching the reality shows that I didn't always get out of the stand and stirs. Even though some of them were junky, some of them were much more like legal procedurals than like a real cooking show, there was something fun about seeing food treated as an emergency that I can't deny, partially for entertainment, but partially maybe because appeal to me as someone who actually does find food difficult.
But they also, I guess, give us a feeling of what life in a restaurant kitchen is like.
Yes, that's the distinct difference. The reality shows are about restaurants, and the stand-and-stirs are about home cooking. And actually, one of the fascinating things about the reality shows is how differently they approach both the reality and the fantasy of working under a terrifying cook and trying to bring your food up to the top level. And I talk about Hell's Kitchen, which is sort of on the junkier level of reality shows, which
that's
is
Gordon Ramsay's show.
And literally that show is just about being screamed at. But I have to say, from the few friends that I've had who've worked in kitchens, it doesn't seem like it's that far off from the actual experience of being in a kitchen. It's not a fantasy show in that way, even though it's filled with fakery like a lot of reality shows.
And what is the premise of that show?
The premise of that show is basically Gordon Ramsay collects 40 or so or 21. I don't know. Like, there's a huge amount of these kind of line chefs from all over the country. They're just regular Joes. They're not major cooks. And the prize is actually a job working for him, which seems kind of inverted and confusing given what goes
That's
on in the show.
The only thing worse would be getting a job with Donald Trump, I would
think. Yeah, I mean, it's a classic kind of reality show where everybody gets screamed at. But there was something to me refreshing about the fact that they were just sort of schlubby people from all over the country. They looked like real people. They didn't have any of that TV gloss.
And the people on Top Chef are more professional by comparison.
Yeah, I mean, Top Chef is wonderful to watch. I look, what can I say? I wasn't coming at this with a sort of precision element to it. I just had this feeling of the pleasure of watching and not actually imagining myself doing it. The people on Top Chef did give the fantasy of just the sophistication of traveling around the world and having top chefs compliment you. I mean, really, a lot of that show seems to
tell
about
you you're
the,
lacking.
Yes, granted, but the fantasy of the show is having someone go, my God, I never imagined that you could prepare such a thing.
My guest is Emily Nussbaum, whose recent article To Stir With Love was in the April issue of The New Yorker, talking about TV food shows. We asked people on Facebook to tell us what their favorite cooking shows are, both past and present, and their answers cover the gamut from Alton Brown's Good Eats to Julia Child to Paula Deen to The Chew, Pioneer Women, Rachel Ray, Ina Garten, The Galloping Gourmet, which how many years ago was that gone? Does that show just how much variety there has been?
Yeah, there's a huge range, and I really do think there's probably something for everyone. Out of those, I actually did find myself deeply drawn into the Barefoot Contessa, the Ina Garten show, which is the one that I found I was hypnotic watching, sort of surprised by. And also, Good Eats was so great because it's so nerdy and fun and goofy. I compared it to Blue's Clues, and it actually has that kind of camera whipping all over the place, visual puns. A lot of the shows are pretty static, and just as television, I found it very fun to watch.
And what was it about Ina Garten? Because there are a number of very engaging people who do shows like that.
You know, I'm not sure whether I made this comparison in the final draft of it, but I do think it's a little bit like choosing a shrink, where a lot of it comes up to personal chemistry. I really did not think that I had a fantasy of being in a fancy East Hampton house where they were just renovating the library, but apparently I do. There was just something about her manner that was very confiding and warm that spoke to me.
Well, you're not alone. She's been a guest on the show a number of times. She has provided us with recipes, and recipes that we posted from last November remained among the most viewed things on our website until very recently.
Literally talking about this is making me hungry. I actually want to look up the recipes. I mean, the truth is, now that I've watched these shows, I actually do feel like it's possible that I should raise my game.
And you say that you wound up ordering figs from Fresh Direct as a result of watching Ina's
yes.
show?
Well, part of it was the episode that I happened to be watching when I wrote that was an episode in which she kept saying reassuring things about how I didn't have to cook, which for me as a viewer made it an ideal cooking show.
One of my producers tells me that she watched shows like Julia Child and The Frugal Gourmet as a child at an age when she was unlikely to go into the kitchen and whip up whatever was featured on that day's show. Is food programming really about making the food, or is there something kind of soothing about watching someone else cook?
I doubt that the food cooking is that much about making the food, but again, because I'm not much of a cook, I may be wrong about that. But I actually, you know, I had mixed feelings about it, but it was a little hard for me to imagine somebody actually following along. I assume people are watching it as inspiration or kind of the way that people watch sports.
Well, they also sell cookbooks that are companions to the shows, because it would be almost impossible to do the what they're doing. They chop stuff up and then they kind of give you a condensed version of them cooking it, and then they stick it in the oven, and then they open the oven 10 seconds later and out it pops.
Yeah, it looks much, much easier. I have never found in my kitchen these little bowls that are like have pre-chopped materials. It's much more of a mess with more blood.
Well, ironically, the producer who watched all those talk shows tells me she's like you. She really doesn't enjoy cooking, and she says she screwed up her oatmeal this morning. That's hard to do.
See, I have to say, it is the one thing. My son loves oatmeal, so I can make a handful of things. That is one of them, where I could have my own cooking show just called Making Gabriel Oatmeal.
Back in 2009, in a much-talked-about article in the New York Times Magazine, Michael Pollan wrote about, among other things, our fascination with food television, but not with preparing that food ourselves. After watching all of this food television, have you been inspired to cook more?
Well, I have to say, I wrote in the piece about the fact that I had a rather crunchy specialty from years ago, which was from the Moosewood cookbook, and I hadn't cooked it in about 3 years. And it is true that after writing this, I made the stew. But I don't know whether I'll cook more in the future, but I actually can imagine myself watching some of the shows, which surprises me because I did find them vaguely anathema.
Well, some of them upset me a little bit. Watching Paula Deen stick all that butter into things, it gets my stomach slightly upset.
I understand how people feel about Paula Deen and how people feel. There's a lot of complicated stuff that's in the food shows that's about social class, that's about health, that's about morality. You know, these aren't things I talked about a lot in the piece, but it's kind of a staging ground for that. But I have to say, completely detaching myself from the health issues of the Paula Deen show, when I watched it, she was just making this oxtail stew and saying goodbye to her husband. And just as a dramatic scenario, it actually reminded me of living down south when I used to live there, and I found it very relaxing.
So some of them have stronger narratives than others?
Yes. I actually think a lot of them have this idea of what it would be like to be the person, and you just it encompasses. So even though they're theoretically set up as teaching models, they really are just their own little domestic setting.
And is it one of the reasons that there is so much variety in food programming today, the class differences?
Well, I mean, who's to say? But one of the things that's clear when you watch the show is that social class, which has always been a huge part of the way people think about food and has changed a lot over time, it's just present in all of the shows. It's present in a lot of the reality shows, which are very interesting because there are a lot of shows in which working class chefs who've worked their way up talk about serving fancy food at a fancy dinner party to a lot of rich people and what the food means and what it symbolizes and if it's ethnic food that they've done in a kind of fancy pants way. That's actually one of the more interesting aspects of the show, even though they often don't talk about it explicitly.
And now that you've written the article, are you going to continue watching food TV?
I have a lot of television to watch. It's funny. I was just talking with other TV critics about this. It's triage. But I can imagine that I might watch shows. I mean, I like to keep up with stuff that I've reviewed because I feel like, especially if I've written in any critical way about something, I feel required to watch it until the end of time.
Emily Nussbaum's article in The New Yorker, it was in the April 8th issue, was called To Stir With Love. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.